Leo Frank, Georgia. Supreme Court Appeals Records, 1913, 1914. Page 932. Visible translated text is as follows. Wonderful endowments which, if directed in the right line, bring honor and glory. If those same faculties and talents are perverted and not controlled, as was the case with this man, they will carry him down. Look at McHugh, the mayor of Charlottesville, a man of such reputation that the people LA vated him to the head of that municipality. But notwithstanding that good reputation, he didn't have rock-ribbed character, and becoming tired of his wife, he shot her in the bathtub. And the jury of gallant and noble and courageous Virginia gentlemen, noting the shining of his good character, sent him to a felon's grave. Richeson, of Boston, was a preacher who enjoyed the confidence of his flock. He was engaged to one of the wealthiest and most fascinating women in Boston, but an entanglement with a poor little girl of whom he wished to rid himself caused this man, Richeson, to so far forget his character and reputation and his career as to put her to death. And all these are cases of circumstantial evidence. And after conviction, after he had fought, he at last admitted it, in the hope that the governor would at last save his life. But he didn't do it. And the Massachusetts jury and the Massachusetts governor were courageous enough to let that man who had taken that poor girl's life to save his reputation as the pastor of his flock go. And it is an illustration that will encourage and stimulate every right-thinking man to do his duty. Then there's Beatty. Henry Clay Beatty of Richmond, of splendid family, wealthy family, proved good character, though he didn't possess it, took his wife, the mother of a 12-month-old baby, out automobiling and shot her. Yet that man, looking at the blood in the automobile, joked. He was cool and calm, but he joked too much. And although the detectives were abused and maligned, and slush funds to save him from the gallows were used in his defense, a courageous jury, an honest jury, a Virginia jury, measured up to the requirements of the law and sent him to his death, thus putting old Virginia and her citizenship on a high plane. And he never did confess, but left a note to be read after he was dead, saying that he was guilty. Crippen of England, a doctor, a man of high standing, recognized ability and good reputation, killed his wife because of infatuation for another woman, and put her remains away where he thought, as this man thought, it would never be discovered. But murder will out, and he was discovered and he was tried. And he said to the glory of old England, he was executed. 96. Movant further says that a new trial should be granted because of the following ground. The Solicitor General, in his concluding argument, spoke to the jury as follows. But to crown it all in this tableau which is now turned to the wall, you have Lemmy Quinn arriving, not on the minute, but to serve your purposes from 1220 to 1222. Referring to a table which the defendant's counsel had exhibited to the jury, giving, as was claimed by counsel, in chronological order, the happening of events as to defendant on April 26th. But that, gentlemen, conflicts with the evidence of Freeman and the other young lady, who placed Quinn by their evidence in the factory before this time. Whereupon the following occurred. Mr. Arnold, there isn't a word of evidence to that effect. Those ladies were there at 11:35 and left at 11:45. Corinthia Hall and Miss Freeman, they left there at 11:45, and it was after they had eaten lunch and about to pay their fare before they ever saw Quinn at the little cafe, the Busy Bee. He says that they saw Quinn over at the factory before 12, as I understood it. Mr. Dorsey. Yes, sir, by his evidence. 112.